Family values are more than slogans. The Rick Smith Show. It's times like these you learn to live again.
It's times like these you give again. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So David Leonard over at the New York Times had an interesting op-ed today talking about Walgreens and a number of corporate donors and big corporations who are the ones who are backing the Republican legislators there in Wisconsin. And it all comes back down to corporate dominance and more tax breaks for them. And, you know, Walgreens may be the warm fuzzy, hey, we're the neighborhood, you know, pharmacy or whatever. But, you know, as Leonard points out, they're vicious when it comes to extracting taxes from taxpayers, and especially the folks in Wisconsin. And you look at what's going on in Wisconsin. Sore losers, sure. Authoritarian, absolutely. Criminal, I would, argue borderline. And for all those people saying, well, they're just using the powers that they can use. Nonsense. I'm here to share some thoughts on what's going on in the state of Wisconsin. I've asked our good friend, Caree Pennebaker, to come talk with us. Caree, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me on.
So here we are again, Wisconsin, the epicenter of insanity.
Yeah. I mean, it is rather ironic, I guess you'd say. When Scott Walker came into office in 2010, within a week roughly of coming into office, he began the work on Act 10, which decimated public sector unions. He went on to say that he wrote a book and talked about, how I did it too fast. I didn't do a good enough job explaining what I was doing. And here we are again at the end of his tenure, at the end of his eight-year reign. He's doing the same thing by trying to rush through these policies that will undermine the will of the voters of Wisconsin. We spoke clearly on November 6th that we wanted Tony Evers to be our next governor to be able to enjoy the full breadth of power that the office of the Wisconsin governor has. But the Republicans here felt that their power was more important than our vote, and I think that's fundamentally wrong.
But here's the thing, and this is what bothers me. They're not going to pay a consequence for it. I just don't see it happening. I mean, Wisconsin's another one of these states, heavily segregated, heavily gerrymandered, and the moneyed interests just way too much power.
I'm not sure if that's exactly true in the long term. In the short term, it may appear that way.
No, I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but what 2012 taught me is that Walker could have done anything he wanted, and there was no way of holding him accountable for it.
Well, there was, and it just took an additional 6 years to get it done. We held him accountable by voting him out of office in a race that he thought he was going to win.
Right.
And Republicans also thought that Scott Walker was going to win as well, which is why they had to resort to these kind of tactics of undermining the voice and the vote of Wisconsin voters. I mean, you have the leaders of the Republican Party coming out and saying that, they are so afraid of Tony Evers' liberal agenda that they have to do this.
Yeah.
I don't care what your opinion is about the things that you believe that Tony stands for. That's who we voted for.
Right.
We didn't need the Electoral College to help him. We didn't need Russia to do anything. We didn't need Michael Cohen to pay off anybody. We won this fair and square. We had one of the largest turnouts we could have in a midterm election. And they still don't accept it. But they're going to pay a price at the polls, and it may take some time, and hopefully we can win a Supreme Court case that will allow us to redraw these maps in a fair way, so that politicians no longer have the ability to undermine our voice and our vote, just like they just did a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, are you surprised at the level of candor and honesty that Republicans have shown in this time? I mean, to come out and just say, look, we don't want him to undo all the things we've done. We don't want him to undo the damage we've done. Are you surprised at that?
I used to be. until I came to grips with the fact that Republican legislators are simply shameless. They literally don't care, right? They it's like the gangster mentality. They just do stuff to their own betterment at the expense of taxpayers and voters. And I think that's wrong. But it's going to come to a point where Republican voters, though, are going to wake up and say, wait a minute, this is not right. We wouldn't feel good or accept the opposing party doing this to us. We don't accept that. And I think voters in general, whether you be Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, should stand up and say collectively that you cannot, as a legislator, undermine what is the core tenet of being a participant in our democracy by taking our vote and our voice away just simply so you can retain more power for yourself. And one of the things that they're trying to do to legitimize this is saying that they want to equalize the three branches of government. But yet, Scott Walker was in office for 8 years. There was no attempt to give more power to the state chambers at all. They let Scott Walker do whatever he wanted. But now it's going to be a Democrat. Now they want to change the rules. That is simply wrong, and it's obvious.
I know it's obvious, and I know it's wrong, but and maybe I'm just plain jaded, but I just don't see Republican voters having the ability to put all of that together in this day and age and say, you know, we wouldn't want it to happen to us. I see most of my Republican voter friends saying, we've got the power now. We're going to take advantage of it. We're going to put the hammer down, and we're going to make America great again, Caree.
No, I mean, Charlie Sykes, who is a pundit on MSNBC quite often, but he's from Wisconsin, and he's a conservative. He has written that Scott Walker should veto these bills because it would be a detriment to the Republican Party and a detriment to democracy here in Wisconsin. There's been other rather high-profile Republicans who've also come out against these measures, saying it is not good for democracy to steal away power in an election that was won fair and square. So I do think, by and large, that there are going to be Republicans who simply don't accept this brand of politics. I mean, are there some that would like to win at any cost, regardless of the consequences? Of course there are. But I could be naive, or maybe it's wishful thinking, but I would like to believe that there are some decent Republicans here in Wisconsin who value democracy more than they value power.
I hope you're right. But, you know, I go back to 2011. I go back to the recall. I go through all this stuff, and I just go, I don't know. My level of hope has notched down a bit.
I mean, and I can appreciate that. But, again, you know, if you look at this you know, in retrospect, we won the race against someone who had won three races prior to this, who thought he was going to win. That is the way we hold them accountable. And again, I will admit it took longer than it should have. And I wish it would have gone a lot quicker, because a lot of the damage that Scott Walker and his cronies have inflicted upon Wisconsin are going to reverberate for years to come. But at the same time, We took a stand. Folks got out and voted. You had all kind of organizations that pounded the pavement to make sure folks were able to exercise their franchise. And we're going to have to continue to keep doing it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's either we are willing to do the work, or we are willing to accept the consequences of what people like Scott Walker and his ilk will do to us if we fail to do so.
Yeah. You said something a minute ago that, you know, Scott Walker didn't take enough time to explain what he was doing and why. Yeah, I would push back against that by saying he had an entire campaign to do that, and didn't mention any of the stuff that they did with Act 10 during the campaign whatsoever. So it was never really put in front of the voters there.
Right. Oh, I agree. I mean, that's what I was saying, is that he did not explain Act 10 during his campaign for governor the first time, and then he went on to write a book. Whatever it was called, about he's not afraid of some boogeyman or some stupid. But he went on to say that same sentiment in the book about how he needed to take more time to explain his policy ideas to the voters of Wisconsin. But yet here we are at the tail end of his reign, and he's doing the very same thing. They pulled these bills the Friday before they voted, and I believe they started to vote last Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's not like they gave their fellow legislators time to go through this stuff. They didn't give the public enough time to understand what was going on. They really tried to ramrod these bills through, and they voted on it at like 6 o'clock in the morning because they had this all-night session. They had plenty of time to do these things. They had 8 years to do this. Yep. They waited to the last minute when their guy lost and decided that they are better off stealing from us than they are accepting a gracious defeat. And this goes to show that those legislators don't care about us. And part of one of the bills that they passed is against pre-existing conditions. So you have Republicans all over the country talking about how I don't know any Republican that doesn't stand for fighting for pre-existing conditions. Here you go. Here's Wisconsin Republicans right now. No. That's what they did to us.
And again, I hope you're right. I'm hoping that there's going to be some accountability and they start throwing some of the bums out. People, my good friends of Wisconsin, please, a purge is most certainly necessary. Before I let you go, though, I wanted to get your thoughts on a whole nother topic, because you're you're obviously a gun violence survivor. Mm-hmm. I guess you're a survivor fellow with Everytown. Also, yep. You do work with Moms Demand and the No NRA group and all of that. The NRA TV thing seems to be just in total chaos. They've had a bunch of layoffs, and now this Bongino, I guess his name is.
Yeah.
I guess he's out, and there's some question whether he turned down an extraordinarily generous offer or they gave him the boot. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, I mean, Dan has blocked me on Twitter, and I'm not sure why or what I said to have deserved being blocked, but I'm not a person that rejoices in the misery of others. But at the same time, the NRA TV is nothing but pure fear, hate, and propaganda. I think that's a channel that I cannot wait to go away. I do hope the people who work there are able to find gainful employment so they can provide for their families. But at the same time, the content of what that channel and what the NRA espouses is nothing short of fear rhetoric. All they want to do is keep people afraid so more guns get sold, so they have more stuff to talk about on their stupid channel, while at the same time, more and more people die needlessly to gun violence. I am surprised that you have a guy like Dan who even had a show on any media. But I'm glad he's out. I can't wait for the rest of them to be out as well.
I just looked up the D. Bongino.
Yeah.
He blocked me too.
Right.
I didn't even know his name until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I wonder how that happened.
I also don't do these things often about hey, I'm blocked by so and so. I mean, I did it a little bit with Donald Trump, but. I try not to get into that side of Twitter. but again, I mean, that channel is not good for civility. It's definitely not good for decency. And it does nothing to help make our country a better place. All it wants to do is spread hate, lies, and fear. And I think it's about time for that channel to simply go away.
Yeah. It's the Fox News of guns.
It's even worse than that.
Oh, wow.
If you can imagine that, yeah.
I've never really watched. I've seen a clip here or there, and I can't take that. Dana Lash, I can't take her. Just not even a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she says some stuff sometimes that makes my skin crawl. I think it's incumbent upon us when you come across people like them to find better ways to be better people. To find ways to inspire folks to want to be better and make the world a better place rather than worry about their hate lies and fear-mongering. I think the world, especially our country, is begging for people to want to do good stuff and talk about something positive and doing things like trying to save people's lives and prevent gun violence and talking about people like Dana and Dan and their craziness. They're going to have their little niche of America, but I think there's more of us who want to do better things to make our country a better place.
Good stuff, Curry. That's the message right there. I appreciate you taking time for us. Love to talk to you again real soon.
Absolutely, brother. Appreciate it.
As always, our good friend Curry Pennebaker. And I look, at the end of it, he's spot on. You know, we should be focusing on how to move ourselves forward. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
First ones to start, we're the first ones to die.